This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Well, today I have a really special program. It's my program to promote reading during the summer. Summer reading programs for children are so important, and I hope that everyone out there who has a child in their life, whether you're a mother, a father, grandmother, aunt, uncle, or just a neighbor, make sure that the children that you know are reading this summer. There are wonderful programs at all the local libraries, and you should check those out. And today I'm going to be talking to two absolutely fantastic authors who have written books especially for children. At the bottom of the hour, I'm going to be talking again to Rachel Renee Russell, who is one of my favorite children's authors. She writes just The Dork Diaries, and she's just come out with her third, The Misadventures of Max Crumbly, Master of Mischief, and she's going to be on at the bottom of the hour. But right now, I'm so honored to have on the program an author whose work I admire so much, and I want to thank Scholastic so much for arranging this interview, because it's a very important subject today. We're going to be talking about, of course, everyone this week is honoring the D-Day, sacrifices that were made, and I'm so honored, really, to have Lauren Tarshis with me today, and we're talking about one of her books in the I Survived series, and this one is I Survived, The Battle of D-Day, 1944. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Wow. It's so good to talk to you, and I really am. Actually, you ruined my makeup this morning. You know, I read the book before. And then I'm here in the studio, and I had some spare time, so I read it again, and I'm crying at the end, and
Well, that makes me, I'm sorry about your makeup. I know how that goes, but you've made me very happy to hear this, Patsy, because that's my goal, honestly, is to try to not only, bring these historical topics to life for kids, but also to have, to try to fill the stories with heart and to connect kids and all of us to, these characters. So you've made my day. Thank you.
Well, you really, and it's when you read, I get tears in my eyes just thinking about it, because when I read it the first time, of course, I got very emotional. My father was in D-Day, and he was awarded a Silver Star for his service. But, when you sort of away from a book and you say, all right, I've read it once, and I'm not going to get emotional the second. and you still do, because the character, you have developed such a wonderful story here, and as you do in all of your books. You come out with a character who, for these books, I know they're written for children. They say them really young age, but any adult will be as emotionally involved and moved by your writing, because it is really beautiful. And this particular story really touches the heart. It's a story about an 11-year-old boy named Paul, whose village, is in northern France there by the shores, where all those people, all those wonderful, wonderful young men stormed the beaches. And I just want you to tell us how you came out with the character and the story, without giving away, the surprises, because there are some surprises in it, and I always love
some surprises.
I love that when that happens to me. Just when I think, I know what's, I'm crying over one thing, and then I can smile over another thing, and it's a very emotional move.
And I'm so happy that you thank you so much for that, that lovely build up. So the story is, as you said, it's about my 11-year-old boy is named Paul Colbert, and he has been living for the past, I guess it's 3 or 4 years, under Nazi occupation in a fictional village called La Roque, but the village is based on the many villages that are in this beautiful, beautiful part of France, of Normandy, which I visited as part of my research process. So the story opens up just, you know, days before D-Day, and we see Paul coping with all these feelings of kind of despair and fear. His best friend has been taken by the Nazis. His mother is working herself to the bone. His father is in a prison camp in Germany, having participated in the battle. You know, when Germany first invaded France, there was this big effort to try to repel the Germans, and he was among hundreds and hundreds of thousands of French soldiers that were taken prisoner. So my goal in the story, as it always is when I'm writing an I Survive book, is to identify the kind of the most important elements of the story, which of course is not just the facts, is to really understand the people, the types of people who were participating in this event, the setting, the themes, and then to try to weave them together into a suspenseful, engrossing story. So in Paul's case, he finds himself, you know, really unwittingly caught up. I also, of course, want my character to get as up close as possible to the heart of that story, which is, as you said, and I'm dying to hear more about your dad, Patsy, but these 150,000 American, Canadian, British, and other from other country soldiers who crept across the English Channel in the dark of night to storm these beaches. And that was just another completely remarkable story. So, of course, I wanted to have a character, and my character, Victor, is a paratrooper who, I won't give this away in the early chapter, who Paul discovers trapped in a tree, which happened in the days before D-Day. The night before D-Day, you know, you had this huge force of troops be parachuting down. Many of them lost their lives being shot down or were caught in trees and or drowned in swamps, but many made it, and they were really the advance party to try to, you know, capture the bridges and block off the German pathways so that the sea invasion would proceed without obstacles. So the whole thing was just was really, I think, of all the books I've written, it was a monumental event, right, as we know, and it was very complicated. And one of my most challenging tasks writing for children is to make all of this deeply comprehensible and not, you know, to make sure they understand the basics, the facts, and so that they can grasp not only the event that they're reading about, but the whole background. Why was this taking place in France if it was the Germans that this enormous Allied force was trying to get out of away from those beaches? How can I create a character who's a French boy that is somehow relatable to my readers? So all of those components get woven together through a torturous writing process of many, many, many drafts and an enormous amount of research that hopefully ends, for me anyway, ends with being connected to so many really spectacular readers who then, you know, I get to connect with over this story, and that's the big joy of it for me.
Well, I think that, as I said, of course, Scholastic is always great, and they've done a beautiful addition here. The book is lovely. I think the children will just find it so enjoyable to read. The illustrations are just perfect. And, you know, it is so important for children to understand, you know, from a distance now, because they're like the third generation away from the, you know, they have great-grandfathers that they never, many of them met, you know, never met, right, that they understand this. And it's still, when you look at it and you think that there were 7,000 ships and they came out in the dark of night and stormed those beaches, it's still, you know,
It's remarkable. It really is. You're so right. And, you know, Patsy, I don't know if you've been there, but what's so moving is when you go, right, so you know, you arrive in Normandy and these, you know, so many homes have American flags outside still paying tribute to the sacrifices that were made that day. They talk, I met with three extraordinary people, Denise Wood.
Hello? Okay, we've got a problem. Hello. Somehow the call's been dropped, and that's from New York. We'll wait a minute. And anyway, so while I'm waiting, I'm going to hold up the. I have here on YouTube. I'm holding up the book. It is absolutely. The cover is gorgeous. It has a lovely illustration, and I'm really, really thrilled to be just holding it in my hand. It's a hardback book. I think so often, you know, we don't give children hardback books. I don't know why, because when I was a child, all of my books were hardback. We didn't really, have all this paperback books, other than, of course, comic books, which I was, that's how I learned to read. But I think it's important that children, right from a young age, realize that, you know, a book is something to treasure and something that's very important, and to hold it in their hands. And so we're just trying to see. Do we have a number there? Whoa, okay, I'm going to try to, I don't know. I'm sorry. You know, sometimes this happens, but I can't figure out what went wrong here. Well, as I was saying, it is a Scholastic book. And Scholastic is one of the best, I just love Scholastic books. Anyway, as we were raised on Scholastic magazines in school, they were, you know, something very, very, I think they were always something we just were so excited when they appeared. And okay, I think we have her back. Hi.
I'm back.
Okay, Lauren. Okay.
Yes. Anyway, I don't know where we got cut off, but I was just saying that I love particularly bringing these kinds of stories that showcase these American values of resilience and sacrifice to our readers.
Well, it is important, and I was just saying while you were off that you do have an illustration here in the book of some of the people you met,
right,
you know, survivors,
right.
And it was, I love the ending at the end of the book where you have this chapters about the writing process, about how you went about it, about your research process, and I particularly enjoy that you explain things to children so that they can understand how did the Allies keep D-Day a secret from the Germans, and is it true that Jewish children were hidden by the Nazis? All of these little stories, I think, are vital for the understanding of what, you know, we're so distant from it. And as I said, because of the generations that have passed, and the original, the guys, like my father, really did not talk about it until
right
near the end of his life that they talked about what they went through. And so it's very moving now to see the stories of the people who are, who are going back. They had like a 100-year-old gentleman who was visiting, you know, after all these years, and it's very moving. That we continue to honor them. And this book, I think the young people will instantly have a connection to Paul, because we do have they have something in common with Paul. The soccer is important now to all of our, it's funny how our young Americans are, so many more play soccer, I think, than baseball. And so
right.
They will relate very well to Paul. And to
right. Well, that's another. Yeah, that's always a fun process too. Is when you have these historical characters to find, you know, what to, so that kids can really feel that they are, you know, that they share this in common. So I did a lot of research into the World Cup. I learned the World Cup had been canceled, you know, because of the war, and there was this important soccer ball in Paul's life. So I had to do research about what a soccer ball would have looked like at that time. So it's amazing, sort of, what little details take you down different research journeys. And you know, I think that, as you were saying, I think that one of the things that I've really discovered that's been so gratifying is that kids are, you know, just as you said, they need to learn. You know, we want to make sure they know these stories, these important stories. They're fast. They're eager to learn about them. Even struggling readers, even reluctant readers, maybe especially. So many of my readers are kids who are not the kids who are, you know, snuggled under the covers reading huge books all the time. You know, these are kids who are playing video games or outside, you know, playing sports. Many of them don't think of themselves as readers, and yet they are very captivated by these stories and hungry to learn more. So I'm always hoping that my books will not only, you know, engage them, but also will spark curiosity so they want to learn more on their own.
Well, I think you do that by having these little details and things that sort of they can relate to. I think even something as simple as saying that the Germans cut down the trees. Well, all kids nowadays are very aware of trees. They right. care about trees. I mean, we have a generation of tree huggers. And so right. just reading that little thing, like, why would they do that? Why would they steal somebody's trees? I mean, that like, that's something like a young child today will really say, whoa, that wasn't right. And I think the more you have, like, and you have throughout the book, you have little things that just set the time and the place, and I think will draw children in.
Well, thank you for saying that. And that's really, I mean, that to me is so much of that's so important, is to be constantly on the lookout for that little piece of information. You know, what kind of cookie would a kid in 19, you know, living in France in 1944 be hungering for? What sports team would the American paratrooper at that time have been obsessed with? And to be constantly layering in those details so that kids feel as though, I want my kids to really feel as though they're walking in the footsteps of my characters. And I don't want to scare them. I mean, the other part of these stories is that there is this whole very overwhelming, too complicated, terrifying, nightmare-inducing part. And I really do try to shield I want them to know the truth and the facts, but I also really want to I have a very clear sense in my mind what is appropriate for them. You know, what are the kinds of images that I don't want them to be exposed to at this age? So that's another thing, is to try to create, to expose them to these kinds of stories in a way that's appropriate to where they are in their development.
It is. It's that in itself, that is an art, to come up with this book that gives a child a feeling, yes, there are survivors, and I can be a survivor in an event that, you know, might be horrific someday that I might be involved in. So they have hope always. There's always that, right. that memory that people survive, people go on, people continue. And and in this case, of course, Paul discovers there is a resistance, and there are people who are trying, and there right. are people who are ready to sacrifice. And of course, all the Americans, the Canadians, and British who stormed those beaches, they were all young, mostly young men, and
I know.
And they went through so much, but they were ready to do it because of love of freedom and love of their fellow man and wanting to do the right thing in the world.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's an incredible story, and it's one that I think, you know, has what I, you know, again, what I love is that kids can read this book, and then there's so many different doors that can open to them into other areas that they might be fascinated with. And each kid, it might be a different door. One kid might want to learn about more. There's so much more to learn about D-Day, you know, different aspects of World War II. They might want to learn about, you know, what it was like in France. They might want to look at a map and explore the geography of Europe. So I work, and I'm not sure if you know this, Patsy, but my other job is I oversee all the classroom magazines here at Scholastic, which is just an incredible, it's really where our company of Scholastic began 100 years ago, with these magazines that are used in classrooms to build knowledge and to expose kids to wonderful stories, like the kinds that I write about in I Survive. So I feel like it's just such a such an important thing to be exposing kids to really rich stories that have a lot of meat on them, so that they can go off on their own and get used to. I always want a kid to finish reading a story that I write in one of the magazines or one of my books and think, okay, what do I want to learn next?
Well, while you dropped off, what I talked about was the Scholastic magazines and how important they were to me. I remember in school, that was like the best day, the day that we got our...
So it is, and we hear that all the time. The whole thing is such a, I feel so privileged to be working, because I get to work with all these, you know, incredible hundreds of thousands of teachers all around the country who are using our magazines in these unbelievable ways to absolutely transform the learning experience for their kids. So it's all very connected.
Well, I loved the Scholastic magazines when I was a kid. Now, I don't have much time left, but I want to thank you so much for being on today, preparing me and everybody for our D-Day program, because, as I said, with my father having been there and receiving the Silver Star, and I'm so proud of him. But I want to mention your webpage. It is fantastic, and I love and each of your I Survived stories, and there are so many of them. Just I'll mention a few. I Survived the American Revolution. I Survived the Destruction of Pompeii. The Battle of Gettysburg. Shark attacks. I mean, there's so many that are all of your books are just fantastic. And the wonderful thing about your webpage, you have a page for each book, and there are so many things that people can, the kids can see. I like that you download a poster, because the illustrations are beautiful for all of the books.
There's
teachers resources, watch a video, and they can do a virtual tour with you of your research process.
That's right. I mean, what I try to do on the website is, I know that so many of the books are used in classrooms, and I know how hard it is for teachers to find really good resources. So I want them to feel as though if they use my books, they can use them, of course, in social studies or science, but they can also use them if they're, you know, in their reading block. So I have a lot of quizzes and all sorts of additional free materials, because I'm so grateful that I'm a part of classrooms, and I really want to make it easier for teachers to use them if they want to.
Okay, well, Lauren, I want to thank you so much for being on today to talk about the D-Day book.
But throughout this,
you know, throughout the summer, I'm going to be promoting reading for children. So I would like you to come back. Perhaps you could come back in July, and we can go through a bunch of your I Survived books.
I would love it. Just let me, though. I will be there. And I'm sorry that we're not together in northern Michigan in Lake Superior. I saw that connection.
Yeah.
That's where my son was just on Isle Royale. Just got back 2 days ago.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, you're definitely going to be on in July. Michigan. We'll talk about a whole bunch of the books, because they're all wonderful. And thanks Scholastic so much
for the magazine
and for the wonderful, beautiful, beautiful books, wonderful production value. And it's been an absolute joy to talk to you. And it's Lauren Tarshis. What's the website? Tell everybody where they can go.
It's just my name, laurentarshis.com.
They can find it there. And just, it's wonderful. I love that. I think a lot of kids will want to have the poster and just enjoy remembering this book once they read it. Because I love at the back where you have the the military trucks and jeeps and stuff. It reminded me of my dad again. So again, thank you, Lauren, so much for being on.
Bye, Patsy. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye bye now. Wow, she's great. She's great. We're going to have her back in July. And now I think we have a little promo for a book about D-Day.
Tim McGee's Worthy McGuire is a book that will touch your heart. A gripping tale of a gruff old man who needs to keep a promise made during the horrors of the D-Day invasion. For Worthy, it's a mission of the heart. Will his dysfunctional family stand in his way? Selfish and greedy, they are all he has. Can his quest to find a woman from his past change them? Or will they try to stop him before he can reach the beaches of France where his destiny changed? D-Day is a day that can never be forgotten. Worthy McGuire is a tale of redemption that touches on the importance of a promise made and kept. Available wherever books are sold.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back. In a few minutes, I'm going to be talking to Rachel Renee Russell about her newest book, The Misadventures of Max Crumbly. It's book three, and it's called Masters of Mischief, and I just love her. She's a wonderful author, and I'm always excited to talk to her. Again, I just want to remind everyone that the book that I talked about in the first half hour is called I Survived the Battle of D-Day 1944. It's a wonderful book from Scholastic. I do hope that you'll get it for any child. Both of these books that I'm talking about today are perfect for a summer reading program. I know that many of you the kids are just getting out of school. When my boys were young, we used to have what we call book parties, where at the end of a school year, now this was for their music school, but we would have book parties and they would celebrate. And one of the things that we would do, we'd give the kids books. So for the summertime, and it is a wonderful thing. If you have children in your family or in your neighborhood, you know, have a book party. Invite kids over and give each of them a book to celebrate doing well in the past school year and looking forward to a wonderful summer. And these books are, you know, they're the type of books, both of these authors write books that you will want, the children will want to keep. And I think that's always so nice. I have books that I have, they're very old. They're getting very old because I've had them for, you know, like 30 years, 40, well, 37, you have a lot of years anyway. And I just love to have them. And I love to look at the, you know, the inscriptions. I have some still, you know, that they're just treasures to me. So these books are hardback books. They're both hardback books. And I do prefer hardback books. I think they're wonderful to give to kids because they learn to appreciate the value of a great book. And I can tell you the next author, I love this woman so much. I think she's so funny. I think, you know, there are authors that you just get a kick out of. And I get such a kick out of Rachel Renee Russell and her books. Of course, it started with the Dork Diaries, and I love the Dork Diaries. And I don't remember now how many Dork Diaries she's done. She's done so many, but I love the Dork Diaries. And then when she came out with this character, I love it so much. Max Crumbly. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay, well, I was just telling everybody But I love you. I love your books. I think you are so fantastic. The last time I talked to you, I think I told you that, you know, I of course, I want so much always to promote reading for children. And there's nobody better than you. You are just so fantastic. You know, of course, you do the strangest things. First, you leave us with Max locked in a locker. And then in book two, you left us in the dumpster of doom. I mean, really? We had to wait until book three to get out of that dumpster of doom?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Very. You're correct. So, yeah, with Max Crumley, it's a guy main character, so I need to bring the drama and the excitement and the, you know, and plus Max is into superheroes and comic strips, so the level of the action in Max Crumley is like at a level 10, you know, compared to Dork Diary.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
There's always some disaster or whatever main, you know, foe that he's fighting or something that he has to get himself out of, just like Superman and Batman and those Avengers and people.
It is so good. I thought after when I got this one, I mean, I knew I was going to get Max out of that dumpster of doom. We can't leave him in there forever.
Yes.
You know? I was trying to figure out how you were going to do it.
Do that, yes. And, you know, a lot of times I don't have the slightest idea. I'm just trying to get the book done and in by the deadline to my publisher. So I figure out with a humongous, fantastic ending, and then I'll try to figure it out by the time I start the next book. So,
well, the new book is called Masters of Mischief. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, does it? It really lives up to its name. It is so
well,
funny.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's absolutely delightful. Well, you tell us about the character. First up, for any of my readers who are, I don't know where they are if they don't know your books, but I love the way they are written. They are... it's a special production value. The paper feels very nice, and the sheets are lined. It's like lined paper, and the typeset is fairly large. The illustrations are black, and well, I guess we call them black and whites. They're like comic books,
exactly.
Uncolored, so that children can color them any color they want, right?
Exactly. Well, actually, you're peeking in Max Crumley's journal. For Dork Diaries, it was called a diary because it's for a girl. But when it's a guy, I heard it's either his notebook or his journal. So when you open up Max Crumley, you're going to see his penmanship and his handwriting. And then you're going to see where he's taken his felt tip and doodled and, you know, drawn pictures of what's happening at school or made silly comic strips or whatever. So the whole look and feel that you're trying to describe is basically Max's personal journal. And that's why kids love both book series, because, you know, when they open that book, they're not supposed to be looking in anybody's journal or diary, and they're able to do that and then actually get inside of the Max Crumley's head.
Oh, gosh. And that's quite an adventure to get into Max's head, I tell you.
Exactly.
Well, it's so funny. I when he says, "My life as a wannabe superhero totally stinks."
Exactly. Yeah, he's trying. But yeah, I've had a blast writing, you know, both stories. And then, like I said, Max Crumley's been a bit more challenging because I need all that action and excitement and the whole, you know, superhero bad guy thing. And the inspiration for Max Crumley was, of course, Dork Diaries with the diary format. But then my favorite movie is Home Alone. So I thought when I was coming up with the concept of Max Crumley, I thought I would combine the best of Dork Diaries and the best of the Home Alone movie, and that's how I came up with the plot for Max Crumley.
Oh, it's a perfect mix, because it's one of my favorite movies, too, and you really captured the essence of this nonstop. Let's explain who Max is stuck with in the dumpster, because in case people don't know, in case people have been worried, who's he? He's not alone.
Oh, no, he's not alone. Well, I'll take you, kind of give you a little run-up, a summary of it. In book one, Max is a new student. The local school bully has it in for him, and he keeps pushing Max into the locker and slamming the door. Well, that happens one day on a three-day weekend, and Max ends up locked in his locker till about 9 or 10 o'clock at night. He finally is able to get out. It's an older school, so he's able to kick out the drywall in the back wall of his locker and climb through a janitor closet up into the vent system to, you know, get out of the school finally after being stuck in there for hours. However, climbing through the vent system, he goes through the brand new computer lab and he sees a burglary in process, and there are three guys there that are basically stealing the school's brand new computers. So this school's going to lose about 30 computers and a whole lot of money. So Max decides he's going to do something about it, and that's kind of where the Home Alone plot comes in, because over the next 3 hours up until about midnight, he and the burglars are doing battle. They're having food fights in the cafeteria. They're fighting with sports equipment in the gym, and then they move to the science lab, and, you know, there's all the explosions and all kind of things going on.
I love the science lab.
So in book three, Max, you're right, at the end of book two, he ended up stuck in a dumpster. He actually escaped from the school down a construction chute and ended up in the dumpster. And the burglars are still there, and it just, you know, more drama and more excitement, and it continues on for there. But the person that he's good friends with that he had met earlier is a computer whiz, and she's president of the school's computer club, and her name is Erin. So Erin was texting him, and when he ended up stuck in the dumpster and she didn't hear from him, she got on her bike at midnight and rode out to the school to find out what happened to her friend. And she finds him in the dumpster. She's attempting to pull him over and out of the dumpster and ends up in there herself. So now Max and Erin are stuck in the school dumpster on school property at midnight with three burglars, you know, still, you know, at large in the school. So it's again, a very, very fun, exciting story.
Oh, it is. And you don't just let them pop up. You make them go through some stuff here. So it's really...
Oh, yes. I torture Max a little bit. So.
Oh, you do. You do. And the illustrations are so... perfect. They are so good. And tell us who does those. Huh? And who does those for
the
you?
The illustrations?
Yes.
Oh, yes. The illustrator is my younger daughter, Nikki.
Yes.
And Nikki actually graduated from college and had a teaching degree. She was in the middle of her first year as a third grade teacher when Dork Diaries made the New York Times bestsellers list back in 2009. And my publisher was so excited, they asked if I could, instead of doing one book a year, if I could write two books a year. There's no way I could have done that by myself. So I asked Nikki, my youngest daughter, if she'd mind taking 1 year leave from her teaching job to help me illustrate Dork Diaries. As a matter of fact, I just gave her the illustration position. I just figured I'd work on writing and she would illustrate them. And here it is 10 years later, she's still illustrating. She never went back into teaching because she loves illustrating Dork Diaries and Max Crumley so much. So the illustrations are done right by my daughter, and she comes over at 9 o'clock every morning with her humongous standard poodle and her little teeny tiny elderly toy poodle. And I have a Yorkie here, so there's three dogs in the house, and we write from 9 to 5 every single day with me writing and her doing the illustrations for both books.
Well, I love all of the illustrations. I can't pick out one that is better than the other, but I love the one of Ralph, I must say. That's one of my favorites. I looked at that a couple of times. I said, ooh, and of course, Mr. Howell is pretty good. Pretty good.
Yes, for book three, yes. Yeah, so my daughter is a phenomenal illustrator. She wasn't trained either. I just let her go to art camp a few years from like maybe third grade all the way through her senior year in high school. So she got 9 years of training in art at the local community college and art school, you know, as a child. And then, of course, by the time she went to college, she wanted to become an elementary school teacher. So she's just super talented.
She is.
And of course, I'm her mom, so I am bragging.
Well,
yeah, she's a very, and from fans, I hear that they like the stories, but the illustrations are their favorite part of both of the book series.
Well, it's funny with the illustrations; they're so good. You read the book, then you go back and you read you go through the illustrations again because they are so, they're just delightful, and then you start reading the book again and you say, oh, Max, what are you doing? And he is so funny. I really love these Max books. I'm like, because
Thank you. I'm happy to hear that. I'm very, very happy to hear that.
Mischief, I think, was my middle name when I was young.
I'm
like the one who in school made the, in those days, you know, we could make the stink bombs in chemistry class and stuff. You can do it today because they send hazmat in and they, you know, close down the neighborhood and, you know, I would get in. But in those days, I could do all of that kind of stuff. And I had a few, you know, a little gang of us. We were like that. So that's why I think I relate so well to Max and his people.
Okay. So it sounds like we could probably make an exciting book on your tween years back in school. Sounds like it.
Well, you know, you are so amazing. Do you ever, like, just pinch yourself and say, how in the world?
Dork Diaries. The first book came out in 2009, and it's now 2019, so I've been at this for 10 years. And between the two series, I'm working on my 20th book, and never in my wildest dreams could I have imagined, you know, that I'd be still doing this 10 years later, and we're in, what, 42 languages, and I think as of last month, about 45 million copies. So, no, there is no way I would have, you know, ever imagined. And I'm not even a real author. I mean, by training, I'm a consumer bankruptcy attorney. So I just got really, really, really super lucky, I think.
Well, you just have, there's something in your nature that you are able to relate to children and come out with these wonderful, wonderful things that, you know, as I'm reading, whether it was the Dork Diaries, and as I said, I really Max is my absolute favorite because I just relate so well to these stories, and I keep thinking, you know, she really understands kids. She really understands.
I had my two daughters, and again, they were the inspiration for Dork Diaries because they were bullied, and, you know, they had a pretty traumatic life in middle school, so I was able, and as a parent, I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Why are my kids like this? Why are they getting, you know, harassed at school? Why are they not happy, you know? So it was a very rough time period. It was a rough time period in their lives and for me as well as a parent. So I was able to take all of that and channel it into these books, which is wonderful because I guess for all of our angst and, you know, all of the tears and all of the drama, a lot of good came out of it because we got Dork Diaries and Max Crumley out of those, you know, terrible years. I call it the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, which was those years in middle school. So a lot of good came out of those years.
Well, definitely. And it's so much more fun than dealing with bankruptcy.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I totally agree.
And I think you've been on the New York Times best-selling list now forever. Well, it's like you never get off of it. And
for the Dork Diary series, it's been on for 288 weeks now. Before that, I was on like the middle grade list for probably like 100 weeks there too. But right now, they're just counting the series list, and Dork Diaries is going on like 288. Actually, it is 288 weeks. It'll be 289 next time. And then Max Crumley was on the middle grade list for about 30 weeks, I think. So both books have done really, really well.
Wow. It's really hard to imagine 45 million copies in 42 languages. Wow.
It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. So, but I just, you know, keep at it.
Well, you certainly are. I as I said, I think you're so delightful, and I think you know that Nikki is so delightful, and it's good that she wasn't trained, because sometimes what happens with these trained artists, they lose the personality, you know, they're like watching, does it fit into my portfolio, you know, and all of that.
Exactly.
And it's got to be,
you know, the shading and the perspective and the whatever.
So.
And then the other cool thing, too, is that for both Dork Diaries and Max Crumley, my daughter has to illustrate from the point of view of a 14-year-old. So that makes it a lots of fun, too. So she doesn't have to really worry about shading and perspective and all that. She just has to, you know, get a very passionate, exciting, you know, illustration in the book to reflect how the character's feeling in that instant, you know, so that makes it for fun too.
Well, she's got just the right perspective on everything, because I love, like, the one where Aaron is standing on Max's head. Whoa, she got that look just right.
Out of that dump. Yeah, they're trying their hardest to get out of that dumpster. So, yeah, at one point, you know, he tries to boost her up, and she's still not able to get out of it, you know, but yeah, fun.
I was thinking, oh my gosh, she's stepping on his head with that dirty sneaker, and I just
from a dumpster, no less.
Exactly.
Very, very situation.
And I thought, oh boy, Nikki, you got that right. That's exactly what Max would look like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good. I think she has trained herself perfectly, and boy, oh boy, when, you know, your books are translated into so many languages. Do you hear from some of these? I'm 42 languages. What are some of the languages? Do you hear from any of these people?
Oh yes. However, the letters I get are always in English, but I get them from all over the world: Taiwan, Poland, Ireland, UK, South Africa, Kenya. I'm trying to think of the continents. All seven, Australia, a lot of the Asian countries. But again, the fan letters I get that I receive either in physical mail through the post office or emails are always written in English. So I have to, not only do I read the letters, I have to read carefully to pick up what country, you know, they're from.
Well, it's funny because in all
of
these...
I've heard from all 42 languages.
Because in all of these countries... From
those countries.
The kids learn English in these countries, but I think it's wonderful that they do translate them into their own native language.
Exactly. They contact me in English, but our translations are in, you know, the 42 languages for... You know, and again, sometimes in my head, I think 42 countries is not 42 countries. It's 42 languages, which is probably, you know, maybe 70 countries. Like, there's a lot of places that speak English, like, you know, the UK and Canada and, you know, Australia, whatever. So that's, you know, again, languages is even more, you know, a larger number of countries involved.
Wow.
And it is mind-blowing to me.
When I think about it, I think, wow, you know, you should wallpaper one whole room in your house with, you know, that would make
it. I would have thought about a map or a world map, and then I thought about putting pins and where we are, countries the books have been purchased in or translated in, and maybe even keeping tracks of our fan letters as well. And yeah, I had totally had that idea before.
Yeah, well, you have to, because I think it's wonderful. Now, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today. I want people to go to your website, because you have a great website. What do you want to give how people can find your website?
Sure, but both, you can find us online based on our book titles. So for Dork Diaries, it's dorkdiaries.com. And on the Dork Diaries website, there's a lot of stuff. On Mondays, Nikki has a blog post where she's writing about her school life. On Wednesdays, there's an Ask Nikki advice column where our fans and write in and actually will ask real questions about dealing with school or parents or homework or whatever. And then on Saturdays, our guy main character from Dork Diaries, whose name is Brandon, he has an advice column. So you can participate in all that good stuff at dorkdiaries.com. We also have a maxcrumley.com website, and he comic strips and lots of fun guy stuff on his website. So we're available there and on social media and just all over. So we're easy to find online.
And you do visit schools and all of that kind of thing?
Not as much as I used to, because now that I'm doing Max Crumley and Dork Diaries, I don't have as much time due to my writing schedule. But yes, I love visiting schools, and we also do signings at bookstores every once in a while. And, you know, we try to get out more. So,
everybody...
I'm very, very happy to meet students and fans at schools.
Well, I'm doing a lot to encourage reading during the summer. All the summer reading programs at our local library, also at Barnes & Noble. We have two Barnes & Noble in our area, and they always have a lot of children's reading events during the summer. And I cannot tell how much I love this series, and everybody can get Max Crumbly.
I'm so excited that you're excited about it. That makes me happy.
Because if they start with book three, which is Masters of Mischief, the brand new one, the minute they read it, they'll start and they'll say, okay, he's in a dumpster. What happened? How did he get there? So they're going to have to go to book two.
And then they might be interested in reading book one and book two. Oh. And even though they're both series books, collections, they're also standalone. Yeah. So you can technically read book three and then, you know, be able to follow it and then go back and read one or two. And same thing with Dirk Diaries. There's 13 of those books, and you can read them in any order and they will still make sense.
That's right. But I defy you to read book three. You will not be able to resist getting book two. You have to know how he got there. Oh, I think you are wonderful. I think you're doing such a wonderful service to all the children of the world now. I mean, all over the world.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I think you're bringing a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. And I want to tell all the writers out there, boy, oh boy, if you're looking for an example of somebody who really has captured characters, you just have to read Rachel Renee Russell's books, Dork Diaries, and now The Misadventures of Max Crumbly, because you really have. Rachel, you are an amazing author. And Nikki, I want to thank you, too, because I think you're an amazing artist.
Yeah, so I will give her that message. I'm sure she'll be very, very happy to hear that.
Okay, again, always, whenever you have a book, you have to make sure you come on here because I love you.
Yes, I sure will. Thank you so much, Patsy, for your enthusiasm. I'm smiling from ear to ear here. I am so, so happy.
Okay, well, I'm going to read that part again, but I have to read the first chapter again. I love it. Okay, bye-bye Rachel.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye. Whoa, I love this book. It's so fun. Much fun. It's just adorable. I'm holding it up if you can, on YouTube. I'm holding both of them up if you're on YouTube. I Survived and The Dork Diaries. These are for kids and for adults who want to stay young at heart because they will put a smile on your face, well, or a tear in your eye in the case of the D-Day one. But it's well worth it, and I do hope that you will check them out. And it's The Misadventures of Max Crumbly, Masters of Mischief by Rachel Renee Russell, available wherever books are sold. Make sure that you either, you know, go online and get it, or I know also Barnes & Noble carries both of these books because they are very popular. Can you imagine being on the bestseller list for years? Not a few weeks. Most authors are on, if they're lucky enough to get on a bestsellers list, they're on the bestsellers list for a few weeks, a few months. She's now years. It's going, and I predict she'll be on for the next 50 years because these books do not age. They just are delightful. Okay, well, I just want to remind everyone what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your books will be turned into a streaming video, a major motion picture, or perhaps a television series. But you have to start. Page a day. That's what you have to do. And meanwhile, say something nice to somebody. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed. Thank you so much for everything. And everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Read a book, for goodness sakes, and start writing. Bye-bye now.